Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everybody, on this Friday Night Fire? You know, the Three Bros Fantasy Show coming at you. Man, I know a lot of people stressing this week because there's a lot of good teams that's on the bye this week. They got a lot of good fantasy players. So you got to work your waiver wire. You know, you thinking about, do you want to cut this person to pick up this person? Somebody else might pick them up. We're here to help you with all that this week. Don't stress. Big bro, he had a thing when he went into the draft that I'm gonna have him repeat when I introduce him. But first off, I'm going to my bro in Fayetteville. What's up, Jermaine? How you doing, bro?
Man, what's going on, family? Man, blessed to be here for another wonderful fantasy week, bro.
Yes, sir. I don't know about wonderful, but we're gonna find out. Hey, but then I got my other brother down in Tampa, man. What up, big bro, Carl? What you up to, man?
What's up, fam? Hey, just trying to maneuver this first bye week of the season.
Man, six teams on a bye, bro, and then it's six good teams. What we got? The Bills, the Cowboys. The Bills, the Cowboys,
Minnesota,
the Chargers,
Bills, Cowboys, Pittsburgh,
the Chargers.
Yeah, God.
Yeah, so, a lot of good players on a bye this week.
But, Big Bro, you said something earlier. I want to say it was on a pre-draft show. You said, I would not wreck my team on the bye week. I would just take the L. Are you rethinking that, or are you sticking with that strategy?
No, never. In my earlier fantasy years, I would make sure that I had an alternate for every player, regardless. But I come to realize that the end game is to win a championship. Bye week only lasts for half the season. By the time you get to the playoffs, everybody's full bore. I want my best player. I want to have the best players available for the draft, regardless of your bye week. I take the L. I will give you this L, my player. You just enjoy it, because in the end, I get you. I put all the best players I can on my team, and I just suffer that week. I could take it.
And actually, that now that you say that, I thought about that this week, and I kind of like really sat pat with a bunch of my teams. I did make two moves this week. I picked up D'Ernest Johnson because, of course, a couple of my leagues, I got Kareem Hunt and or Nick Chubb. So I picked D'Ernest Johnson up, played him last night, good move. And I got Robert Woods in a couple of leagues. So I was like, yo, man, I'm not dropping Robert Woods. I'm not dropping Kareem Hunt. So what I ended up doing was I ended up dropping, like, Michael Carter, who I really didn't want to drop. But when I started looking at his numbers, it's like he really hasn't done nothing. So I dropped him and picked up Henry Ruggs. Man, it's been kind of crazy maneuvering around the waiver wire, especially when you got players that you don't want to drop, that you don't want to cut. So, hey, Jermaine, I'm gonna come to you with this. I know that is not on the rundown, but I'm just gonna come to you. Give me a waiver wire move you made this week and why.
Man, there's one I would tell you is. I wanted D'Ernest Johnson, but one that I would definitely say was out there is Tua. And just like, there's people out there right now who have Josh Allen. Me personally, Cousins, you need a quarterback. It's all about knowing what matchups make sense. And like Tua going against the Falcons, who can't stop a nosebleed, that's a good plug and play. So it's like you said, you know, it's just playing that week, man. It's just a safe move. So in a bye week, you just need consistent points. You don't need to hit a home run. You just need somebody to plug in and give you some consistent points so you can compete. But that's one I feel strong about, too.
Hey, big bro, did you make a waiver wire move this week?
What did I do this week? I got to think, because, you know, I got so many doggone teams. I got to think where I suffer.
I know.
I tell you, the problem I got this week, honestly, is I got one team that just wrecked with injured reserves, bro. That's why I'm suffering. You know, Logan Thomas, injured reserves. DJ Chark, injured reserves. Nick Chubb, out. OJ Howard, you know, he iffy. Kadarius Toney, he out. So, you know, so I picked up, I actually picked up Javonte Williams and started him last night.
That's all.
Yeah, and so he got me a touchdown. He only had four attempts rushing, but he had seven targets in the passing game, and he scored. So, you know, he filled in for me. He won't make it another week on my roster, but he filled in. I'm going to send him back down to practice squad.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. Like I said, I picked up De'Ernest, man. I picked him up as soon as I found out. I was hoping he would clear because I think it came out on Monday that Kareem Hunt was going on injured reserve. And then Tuesday, it came out that Nick Chubb was out. And I was like, yo. So I was like, man, let me pick up De'Ernest. I put in my waiver on Sunday night for De'Ernest Johnson. And I think I was probably close to the end in both and all the leagues I was in that I got him. I got him in three out of four leagues, so I was happy about that. But, man, this is just one of those weeks, folks, that if you're a fantasy football player, hey, stick to what you stick to your draft. If you got players that you don't want to cut, like bro said, you might just have to take an L this week. And hopefully somewhere down the line, that the person that you took the L to, they run into a bye week fiasco too. So it all comes back in fantasy football. But look, man, let's all jump into this real quick. There really wasn't much to talk about last night in the Cleveland-Denver game. You know, I thought Denver offense was terrible. I don't know why Denver won't go to Javonte Williams. I don't understand their loyalty to Melvin Gordon. Javonte Williams is the most explosive running back on your team. Put the young guy out there. Let him go to work. Cleveland, Case Keenum filled in for, you know, Baker. He did okay. But the big star last night was De'Ernest Johnson. You know, he had a big game, both catching it and running it. So we're just going to skip over that, man. But let's talk some real football real quick. Big bro, I'm going to come to you. Since you the one down in Florida, man. Mm-hmm. Hey, word is by the end of next week, Deshaun Watson will go to Miami. But from what I understand is Houston don't want Tua. So what does this mean for Tua? We all know Deshaun is a stud when he plays. So we ain't gotta talk about Deshaun. But what does this mean for Tua? Bro,
I mean, you know, I think it's a lack of trust that the organization is giving him. If I'm him, I don't want to be there. I mean, y'all go ahead and let Brissett finish it off and just release me and let me choose where I want to go. I read something earlier today that your Washington football team may be interested.
Which
I have no idea why they would do that because, you know, I like my man Heineke. You know, I think he a gamer. So, and that's the kind of thing you guys need up there. So, I didn't like Tua coming out of college. I really didn't think that he fit the NFL mode, but I know that they trying to catch lightning in a bottle like they did with my man out in Arizona. You know, trying to put them in the same bucket, but he's a totally different player than him. And I think he's too small. I don't think he's real fast. And I don't know if he – I don't think he'd be in the league with another 2 years, to be honest with you.
Actually, if on tour, I'm telling my agent, I want to be part of the trade. Put me in part of the trade to Houston. You know, because basically I'm going to be a lame duck quarterback here in Miami. So put me in as part of the trade. Let me go to Houston. You know, let me see what I can do there. You know, they got Brandon Cooks. They got some good running backs. They just don't have an overall good team. And as far as my Washington football team, I don't know why we would want Tua. Tua, man, I hate to say this, man, but he has to be on a team where everything is right. You know, the offensive line is right. The running game is right. He got a bunch of stud wide receivers. Everything has to be right. If one thing isn't right, he's not that guy. You know, we've seen Deshaun play with a bad offensive line. We've seen Deshaun play with mediocre wide receivers, you know. So we've seen Deshaun play with a mediocre running game. But I just think everything has to be right for Tua. What's your thoughts, Jermaine?
I think Tua, in the right system, with the right culture, he reminds me a lot of Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield is not a franchise quarterback that's going to win on his own. But if you put the right pieces around him, just like you reiterated, that he'll succeed. But he's not going to be able to carry a franchise to me on his back. So that's going to be – I think he'll be a solid starter. I really do. The game last week versus the Falcons, he played very well, man. Him and Waddle had a great connection. Gesicki had a great, you know, connection. But I do believe Tua will be a solid starter. But, again, he has to have the right pieces and cultures around him. And, personally, I don't know if the Washington football team has that culture around him to succeed. So I don't think that would be a good fit anyway.
Yeah. All right, man, let's talk about this real quick. You know, I was watching something today on TV, and they was talking about Derrick Henry being in the MVP conversation. I didn't have a problem with that. My problem came when they said he is in line to have over 400 touches this year as a running back. Being that we're going from 16 to 17 games, I was telling my homeboy, he is a Tennessee fan. I said, bro, why do y'all not let the backup running back have at least 6 to 10 carries a game? Y'all are a running team. You can't give all the running hits to Derrick Henry. Let the backup take 6 to 10 of those hits every game. He was like, but he really doesn't get hit that much. I was like, bro, you really don't understand what I'm saying. He's getting tackled. That means he got to get up off the ground, run back to the huddle, get tackled again, get back up. I say, bro, that wears on the body. Let the backup running back have about 6 to 12 of those carries. How do you think Derrick Henry's usage, I say it's bad. Some people say it's good because they win it. What do you think about his use?
Well, the thing to me with Derrick Henry, he has that size and that build. He could be able to carry the load like that. But the flip side is, what's going to be the team's long-term, you know, prognosis with one player? We've seen what happened with McCaffrey, but again, they're two different body types. You're talking about 6'3", 250 compared to about 6 foot, 215. He can do it, but I don't even think they're utilizing him correctly this year. If they really use the play action game, I would believe in giving that back some carries, keeping him fresh for, you know, the stretch run. I think that's a common sense. I think it's just common sense to split up some of that, that workload. And I mean, it's going to prolong his career, and I think it'll make that team overall better, in my opinion.
All right, bro. Coming to you, man. What you thinking?
Yeah. So we in week 7, and he's already at 162 carries. And so, yeah, he's well on target for over 400. And his backup, Jeremy McNichols, who was in Tampa, we drafted him, and then we cut him about a year or two later. He only got 7 attempts. And like Jermaine was saying, if you don't prepare your backup quarterback for real, I mean backup running back for real snaps, man, you set yourself up for failure. I mean everybody knows the team goes where Derrick Henry goes. The reason why mm-hmm. he's getting a lot of these carries is because his first quarter carries don't garner a lot of yardage. It's that third and fourth quarters when he's been beating you down for the first half that, you know, that the Red Sea started apart and them boys started making business decisions tired attacking that man.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the problem. And now he's also added catching it out of the backfield, which makes him even more of a weapon. No DB or safety wants to tackle that dude one-on-one coming out of the backfield.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Larry Johnson, y'all. Yeah, remember Larry Johnson? Larry Johnson was the last running back that had over 400 carries, but his mm-hmm. career was cut short because of injury.
Right.
So it's common sense, man. Split up. You got to split up the load, man.
Yeah, man.
Fantasy
but
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantasy wise, yeah. If you own Derrick Henry, you love it. But real football is like, damn, bro. It's like, let somebody else take that pounding. Because if he ain't running, McNichols ain't running, guess who else taking them running hits? Your quarterback.
Yeah, your QB. Yes,
it's your QB. So it's like, yo, mm-hmm. man, let McNichols carry. It ain't going to hurt to give him 6 to 12 carries a game. Plus, if you giving it to him, guess what? The other team got to prepare for him too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think basically they use him in passing downs. But guess what?
Right.
He's become predictable. Every time he in the game, they're going to pass it. No, let him run the ball a little bit, man. So, but I think that season after Larry Johnson carried the ball that much, he was never the same running back. I think even Herm Edwards came out and said, hey, man, I think I ruined his career that year, but he was our best chance of winning. Him running the ball gave us the best chance of winning. Coaches got to do what they feel getting the best chance of winning, but sometimes I think you have to preserve your best player to get where you want to go, and that's ultimately to the playoffs and ultimately to the Super Bowl. So we'll see what happens, man, but hopefully – you know, they'll get smart with him down the road, but we shall see. But let's jump into the meat and potatoes, bro. Hey, heavy bye week this week. So let's go to the people that we sitting down this week. Jermaine, give me a quarterback you're sitting down this week.
Man, so I know there's, you know, some movement trying to get a quarterback. If you got like Josh Allen or one of these big horses, you know, that on the bench, man, like Cousins. But Matt Jones he's played pretty well this year. And if you see that name on the waiver wire, you'll think, man, he's going to give me a great chance. But he's going up against New York Jets. New York Jets is actually giving up the second fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks this year. Yeah.
Bro, sit.
So,
sit, not start.
Yeah. Oh, you said sit?
Yeah, we always do sit first.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sit Matt Jones.
Oh, you sitting Matt Jones? Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Man, let me write that down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. Let you have me word. But, yeah, man, but Robert Salah, he got the Jets playing really good defense this year. I know Matt Ryan, he kind of chopped him up a little bit, man, up there in London. But outside of that game, the Jets have been playing really solid. I'm thinking they're really going to put the clamps on Mac Jones, so I definitely would sit him this week.
Mm-hmm. Man, against the Jets, okay. Wow. That, boy, hey, you definitely shot me with that one. I thought you was going with him as a start, but okay.
No.
He was talking that starter talk.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but I was like, yo. All right, so who you sitting this week at the quarter? Who you sitting this week at the quarterback position?
Man, I'm torn with this one because he got a great matchup, but that's Tua against Atlanta. And honestly, the only reason I would sit him is I feel like he's a lame duck quarterback, like we talked about earlier. Too much Deshaun Watson noise. If I was the coach, I wouldn't even start Tua this week. I would let Brissett handle it, and because I don't feel mentally Tua can handle it, I just don't see it. He had a great game last week, you know. Everybody had a great game against Jacksonville. But you know, I wouldn't trust him. I would need more out of him. Maybe next week, you know, if he's still there, I would put him in. I would start him, but I wouldn't even start him this week. Not after all that news broke out. I mean, think about how would you feel? That's like your job. They're telling you, hey man, we bringing somebody in to replace you. He'd be here next week. How you gonna work that week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, I know I had this guy as a start last week, Joe Burrow. I got him as a sit this week, but the guy I want to talk about is the guy Carl just talked about for the Washington football team, Tyler Heinicke. I like Tyler Heinicke. I like the way he plays. But he has to have a game script where Washington is in the game. Once they fall back behind and everything is on him, he seems to make a lot of mistakes. I think Washington is going to be playing from behind this week against Green Bay. Although Green Bay secondary is basically pretty much ravaged, I just worry about him when Washington falls down by 10 points. I would look elsewhere this week. Probably, I know, like Big Bro said, Tua has a good matchup with Atlanta. I would maybe go that route, even though, you just got to see where his mental at. But Taylor Heinicke, if you got him, you probably just picked him up on the waiver wire because Fitzpatrick went down. So if you got somebody on the bench, or he's probably your QB2. You probably don't have no choice but to start him. But see what's out there on the waiver wire, man. Sam Darnold might be available in some leagues this week after the stinker he put on last week. But I got Tyler Heinicke as a sit this week. All right, big bro, give me a running back you send this week.
Man, oh, woo, got me. David Johnson, oh, I'm a starter, just like me. David Johnson for the Houston Texans, man. I know it's homecoming for him, but Arizona defense is not going to let him beat them. They're going to shut him down. I think the score is going to get out of hand. We'll totally take him out of the game anyway. There's no need to even – well, I think I talked about it before. The whole Arizona backfield is trash, but, Houston, yeah. The whole Houston running back is backfield is trash regardless, but I wouldn't start David Johnson this week at all unless you just don't have any other option.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just throw this question out there to you guys. Don't y'all mm-hmm. think Houston should just go with Philip Lindsay? He's the youngest of the three. He has probably more upside than the three. Don't you want to see what you got in the younger guy?
That's what you got before.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with this kid, why he doesn't get much burn. He's an NFL starter to me, man. It's been since his days in Denver. I don't understand what it is, why this young man is not getting an opportunity to run the ball.
He's a three-down back. He can block. He can do the pass game stuff. You got Ingram, man. Ingram is definitely on the back end. David Johnson has seen better days. Man, put Lindsey back there and see what you got in the kid, Coach. Damn. All right, Jermaine, give me a running back you're sitting this week.
Man, I'm sitting a running back. It's the whole unit. Khalil Herbert, Damian Williams, and the running back coach, Michael Petrie. I'm sitting all of them. I'm sitting all of them versus the Bucks, man. in a situation that you got to scrape the gristle out the bottom to get a running back this week, do not use any of these guys, man. It's got to be something
man.
A little better out there than them. Tampa, they only give him 42.3 yards a game rushing. I've never heard of nothing even close. So, guys, find anybody else other than these guys to run the ball on your fantasy squad this week.
I will have one little pushback. Carl, I'll let you comment on what I'm about to say, since Tampa's your team. You can't run on them, but running backs do okay in the pass game against Tampa's defense. you definitely ain't going to run the ball on them, but I do say if you got a running back that can catch it, especially being that we are in this week where we got six teams on a bye. So basically you don't really have a lot of wiggle room as far as, you know, running backs that's available. So what you say about that, big bro? About them catching the ball, not running it.
Yeah, I think it's funny you say that, because I know I think the first guy that really accentuated that against us was Gaskin for Miami. Outside of that, I mean, Devontae was locking down running backs coming out of the backfield, and Devin White was getting them on the other side. But I think the pass defense just in general, with most of the DBs being out, is such a problem. It's affecting all facets of the pass defense. And so it makes you have to rethink your running back in fantasy-wise on who you're going, if you're going to start against Tampa, because you got to look and see, okay, is this guy a pass catcher out of the backfield? Because I might be able to still get some points out of him. And we all know those are valuable points for the running back position. So,
yeah, especially in the PPR. You got to think about the scoring. I was with Jermaine. My number one choice was Chicago running backs versus Tampa Bay. But, man, I'm going, man, boy. Remember, Washington people might be mad with me. You know what? I ain't going to talk about them. I got Antonio Gibson as a sit. But I'm going to go with Chuba Hubbard versus the Giants. Last year, Mike Davis filled in admirably for C-Mac. Mike Davis was a good fantasy start last year when C-Mac went down. I can't say the same thing about Chuba Hubbard. The Giants' defensive line is solid, whereas the Carolina offensive line is really bad. And Matt Rhule did come out early this week and said that Carolina wants to run the ball more. I wouldn't have came out and said that's your game plan. So guess what the Giants going to do? The Giants is going to build up and stop the run, and they're going to see whether or not Sam Darnold is that dude. So, Chuba Hubbard, man, you should have been shining while C-Mac was out like Mike Davis did, and you really haven't been shining, and I can't start you this week. I'm sitting you down. If Jared McKissick is out there, I'm picking him up. You know, just looking elsewhere, man. I just don't have any faith in Chuba, man. All right, Jermaine, give me a wide receiver you're sitting down this week.
Man, I know this is going to surprise a lot of people, but, man, I'm sitting Julio, man. Julio versus KC. I know he had that great, amazing catch last week, guys, but that hamstring that's troubled him all year, it still flared up in that game. And he's clearly not 100%. But for fantasy owners like myself, A.J. Brown, finally, we finally got A.J. Brown fighting. So I'm thinking they're going to be going a little bit more to A.J. Brown this game. Julio just has not been consistent with that hamstring, man. And I don't know. I don't know how effective he's going to be. And it's a hard pill, man, to swallow this week with such a lack of depth of receivers. But I just don't know about Julio, man, and his hamstring going up against KC this weekend, man.
And this is the week that if you have Julio, this is the week you'll want to start him because Kansas City defense gives it up. They give it up on the ground and in the air. And I think with Henry out there, I think Kansas City going to load up on the run. And I think Tannehill probably could have a big day in the air. And it's just unfortunate that Julio is once again hurt, man. It seems like a recurring thing with him every year. Him and that hamstring. It's always soft tissue with him. But hopefully he can suit up and give it a go Sunday because this is a game where I think he could actually, him and AJ could actually have big games. All right, Carl, give me a wide receiver you're sitting, bro.
Man, you know, I almost went with his Alabama running mate, Calvin Ridley. But I know that would shock a lot of people. With six teams on the box, like, man, you really want me to sit my first or second round pick? I want to say production-wise, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, cooler heads prevail, and I decided to go with a Jacoby Myers from the Patriots against the Jets. I mean, at this point, he's no touchdown at all, which also always warrants, man, sit your behind down somewhere. Yep, he's getting six targets a game, which is, you know, not number one receiver material to me. I'm definitely sitting Jacoby Myers, which falls right in line with my bro's idea to sit Mac Jones. You might as well just tell the Patriots don't show up.
Oh man. Hey, man, and the bad part about Jacoby is, man, he catches, seems like everything they throw to him. It seems like he catches everything they throw to him. But they just don't throw to him in the end zone. He's like that typical 20 to 20 guy. And then once they get inside the 20, they throw to the running backs and the tight ends or somebody outside of him, which is bad.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm going with a guy, man, that last week had a good game. And I'm going with this guy because I noticed a pattern. I'm going with Christian Kirk against Houston. If you notice, Rondale Moore have a good game, then the next week Christian Kirk have a good game. Then the next game Rondale Moore have a good game. Then the next week Christian Kirk has a good game. Christian Kirk had a good game last week. I don't see him having another good game this week. I don't see this as more of a Zach Ertz type of game. He's debuting this week for Arizona. I think they're going to try to get him acclimated in the offense this week, and I think Rondale Moore will probably be the guy that's going to be outside of A.J. Green. And D-Hop will probably be the wide receiver that get the other targets. But I will sit Christian Kirk this week. I know normally you play everybody against Houston, but I will be cautious as far as starting Christian Kirk. I just noticed the pattern that he had good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. So and this is the week, according to his trend, that he will have a bad game. So I'm going to try to stray away from Christian Kirk. Although he does play for a superpower offense. So that's normally hard to do to sit somebody that plays on a high power offense. But I just noticed that trend. Maybe he breaks the trend this week, or maybe it might have been the game flow that had him alternating weeks. But, you know, I just noticed that. So, Carl, give me a tight end you're sitting this week.
I'm sitting Mo Alley Cox for the Colts against San Fran. Another not really about the matchup, more so about the opportunity. And he's not getting it with Doyle and Grasson also getting PT from the tight end position. That team, you know, especially with my man came back. Forgot his name.
T.Y.
T.Y. back. You know, with the tight end position, not going to get much playing, much offense regardless. But if it's going, Doyle is getting it. So I think with T.Y. coming back, he's going to open up the offense a little more. But Mo Alley Cox ain't going to do anything for you. I mean, literally just drop the dude and go find you somebody else. Or somebody get you some points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think Mo Alley, I would expect him to be more of a red zone target because of the basketball situation. As he can get up there, he can jump. I expected him to be used more in the red zone, but he has been basically kind of like the possession tight end. So basically third and five, third and six, you know, they look for him. So, I can see Mo Alley Cox. Plus, this week is a bad matchup going against Fred Warner, one of the best cover linebackers in the league. And San Francisco got nice cover safety, too. All right, Jermaine, give us our tight ends in this week.
Yeah, man. I would say definitely there's two really I had, man. Cole Kmet for going up against Tampa for Chicago, and still Jonnu, man, with the Pats. Hunter Henry, he's already established himself as, to me, the number one tight end up there in New England. And I know with the lack of depth and the waiver wire with tight ends, I know you can pass against Tampa, but Cole Kmet ain't it, bro. He ain't going to do nothing. I think this is going to be a Darren Mooney, Allen Robinson game all over. But Kmet, he's not either one of these tight ends are a good option for week seven.
Only thing Cole Kmet got going for him is Jimmy Graham is on the COVID list this week. That just came out today. That just came out today that Jimmy Graham is going to be out Sunday. So he will be the only, probably tight end one. And I don't even know who the third string is. So, but I just think it's a bad matchup with my man Justin Fields going against Tampa Bay's defense. I would stay away from anything Chicago this week. That's just me. This guy that I'm going with, man, I can't believe I'm about to say this, because he was considered one of the upper echelon tight ends going into the draft. Hockenson, man. Hockenson was looked at as going to be a stud tight end coming into this fantasy year. But once again, when the quarterback struggles, the wide receiver struggle, the tight end struggle. And guess what? Their quarterback is struggling. And he's going against his old team this week, who has probably a top seven defense. And on top of that, the coach called out the quarterback this week, saying they needed more. And this is the bad week to call him out, because they're going to be playing from behind. I see Aaron Donald wrecking this game. So, T.J. Hockenson, man, hey, next year, bro. Next year, you always got next year. You still young.
Wow. You better hope you ain't listening.
All right, man. Still young, bro. You still young. All right, man, let's get the people what they want to hear. They tired of the bad news. Let's give them the good news. All right, big bro, give me a quarterback you starting this week.
All right, good news. It's a good time to start Matt Ryan if you haven't already been doing it. I know he started off kind of slow, but my man has been 2-plus touchdowns in the last four games. Miami giving up 10th most fantasy points in football. It's a good week to start Matt Ryan, kept somebody with their bye week sleeper in there, and you can win that position battle in your fantasy matchup. Go for it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. All right, Matt Ryan. Man, me and Matt just said we haven't been seeing eye to eye this year. Every time I started him, he's bomb. And then when I put him on the bench, he had a good game. So me and Matt Ryan just ain't meshing this year. All right, Jermaine, yeah. Give me a quarterback you starting this week, bro.
Man, I'm starting Carson Wentz, man. Carson Wentz has been he's been hot, man. He's had multiple touchdowns. I think it's what is that? That 4 out of 5 games, if I'm not mistaken, and he's going up against the 49ers. Them boys giving up like 24 points a game to the quarterback. Plus, you add Ty Hilton. That's a big waiver wire pickup, guys. If y'all haven't, if y'all can catch him, if you can catch him on the waiver wire, knowing that he came back last week, I'd highly recommend it because that offense now is pretty scary, man. You got Jonathan Taylor. You have Hilton. You got Pittman. Yeah, man. So that offense, man, the offense is looking solid. So, yeah, definitely starting off Wentz this week.
Man, I feel like most people, probably like myself, drafted T.Y. and just sat him on the bench and took the L for a couple weeks. And he ain't on nobody's waiver wire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cause I saw a lot of people picking him up last Sunday. I saw a lot of T.Y. Pickups last Sunday coming across my phone. I had Pittman, so I just don't like having two wide receivers from the same team. So I have Pittman, so I'm hoping Pittman can stay around his targets and, you know, maybe T.Y. can dip into Zach Pascal's targets. So, but, all right, people, I need everybody to relax when I say this. I'm going based on saying this guy's a start based on the number of quarterbacks and the quarterback injuries that we have in the league right now. Geno Smith versus New Orleans. Geno had a pretty good game last week against Pittsburgh. I thought Geno was actually in line to probably take them down the field, tie the game, or to maybe even win the game. He's played good at home. He looked good at home. And that game that he came in and subbed for Russ, I know the interception looked bad, but you got to look at the whole play. Tyler Lockett actually fell, which caused the interception, and I think Geno is going to play good on Monday night. Seattle, they going to move the ball. They're going to move the ball down the field, and Geno, I think he's learned to play within himself. Not trying to do too much, not trying to, you know, just do enough to win the game. So you can go a lot of different ways this week. But if Geno is out there, I will pick him up. And if your quarterback situation is bad, just throw him in there. It's a Monday night game, so and he's playing at home. So you never know. I had Geno, and then I also had Jimmy G as a start also. Okay, Jermaine, give me a running back. You start this week.
Man, I really like James Conner going up against Houston. And the biggest reason why is because the Cardinals are going to run Houston out of the building. They're going to score a lot of points. And in fantasy, that goal line back is gold. So you're going to want, even if it's in the timeshare, you're going to want that back that gets the goal line carries. So he scored 4 out of the last 5 games. Houston is giving up the 8th most fantasy points to running backs. With that, with the game script, as we talk about that a lot here, that's going to be a solid start. He's going to at least get at least one touchdown. Definitely start him with confidence this week.
All right. James Conner. Okay. All right, big bro, give me a running back you're starting this week.
Man, I'm talking about my man, Darrell Henderson, who I trade for this week. Thank you.
Oh, what? Somebody traded you Darrell Henderson?
Bro, I traded who I got rid of? Let me see who I got rid of. I was shocked he went for it.
Somebody traded you the Rams number one running back for the Dolphins number one wide receiver.
I gladly took it.
And I know you were laughing.
Hey, I laughed all the way to the accept button.
Man, come on, man.
Hey, and I needed a running back so bad because Hunt went on the IR. On that league, I also got Carson, which is on the IR. I'm like, man, I'm scrambling for running back. Picked up Booker, you know, the hold me down for a week. You know, it's been tough on you, boy. I got Mitchell because they hold me down. So I had to make some moves. But anyway, you know, being that I did some homework on the guy prior, double-digit fantasy points every game this season. And we all know the Lions give up the most points of running back. I mean, it's a win-win. You get ready. I mean, just put everybody on the Rams offense. They get ready to eat this week.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even believe that somebody traded Jaylen Waddle for number one running back. I just can't believe it. That's just amazing. Okay.
Hey, I can't tell you how
many
I got to talk about what kind of foolery you got going on.
Hey, man. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I had Darrell Williams, who I said start last week versus the Washington football team. I got him as a start again this week. But I'm going this way. Miles Sanders versus the Raiders. Philadelphia Eagles, I know you guys don't think running the ball is a thing. But this week against the Raiders, please get a ball to Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders should eat this week against the Raiders defense. The Raiders give it up on the ground. Almost every running back that's played against the Raiders has at least 100 yards. I said at least 100 yards. So, Philadelphia Eagles, please bless Miles Sanders owners this week by letting him touch the rock, by letting him possibly get in the end zone, because this is the week that he should actually do it. Now, if he don't do it this week, it's probably too late to try to trade him because everybody know he hasn't been doing anything and everybody see that. You know, that Philadelphia offense is basically so pass happy that they don't even want to run the ball. I mean, the Bills is pass happy, and they running back still get at least 20 to 25 carries a game. So, I'm just, Miles Sanders, this is your week, bro. You should be an offensive coordinator here this week because you should be eating. All right, Carl, give me a wide receiver you're starting this week.
Hey, I know we talked earlier about Chicago Bears going against my Bucks, but I'm starting Darnell Mooney against the I feel like Fields got to throw it to somebody. And
that's his man.
He got great rapport with Fields. But also, I mean, it all goes back to what are targets and what does the defense present. Our defense doesn't present much resistance in the passing game. So he got at least 7 targets in 4 last 6 games, which is great, great from a fan standpoint for this guy. And the Bucs give up 280 yards a game in the air. So
okay.
I feel like if you got a wide receiver for Chicago, I will start him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think if you look at it, since Fields been in there, Mooney has seen like the wide receiver one, whereas Allen Robinson has seen like the wide receiver two. So
yeah,
I mean just look at the targets since Fields been in there. All right, Jermaine, give me a wide receiver you starting, bro.
Yes, sir, man. I'm going with Mecole Hardman for the Chiefs. It's going to be a really good game. He has a great matchup this week. The defense for Tennessee is porous at best. He's been hot the last two games. He's got about 17 targets, 13 catches the last two games. And the biggest thing is, if you look on your waiver wire, 9 times out of 10, Mecole Hardman is going to be available. So for all of our owners who have like the Stephon Diggs is on by, you got the Keenan Allen's on by, the
Mike Williams.
He's going to be a solid pickup. And I mean, come on, man, he has Mahomes going to him. So start him this week.
Yeah, actually, I had to slide him into AB spot in one of my leagues because I didn't want to cut nobody that was on my team. So I was just like, well, I got Harmon on my bench, so I just slid him in the AB spot. If he get a touchdown, it works. Even if he gets 6 catches for 80 yards, it works. I mean, but he has to have something approaching double-digit figures for me because AB has been lighting it up for me. So I'm hoping that he can – you know, try to fill those shoes. I was going to talk about Henry Ruggs, but I got to talk about this guy, show him some love, because last week, Big Bro dogged him out, but then he showed up on Monday night. I'm going with A.J. Brown, man. He must have heard, and I'm going to write, I'm going to read exactly what I wrote down. A.J. must have heard that Big Bro traded him away and had him as a sit last week. He responded with 7 catches, 91 yards on 9 targets versus Buffalo. And this week he goes against the suspect Kansas City's defense. Look for AJ to keep up, continue on for Monday night going against Kansas City. AJ, it's never personal, bro. It's always business. So don't take it personal, man. And you wasn't doing what you're supposed to be doing. So, you know, fantasy football, we kind of short on patience sometimes. But, look, you back in my starts this week. So make me look good. All right, man, give me a tight end you starting this week.
Man, newly traded Zach Ertz, man. We talked about him earlier. Man, I know, man, as soon as they said that he was going to Arizona, man, I know he was just like this smiling ear to ear, man. So, Houston right now, their second worst versus the tight end. Man, this is going to be crucial for that offense, man, because now the middle of the field, you gotta guard it. I know there's so many weapons in that offense. It's going to be kind of hard to dictate who's going to go off. But a tight end, man, you got Ertz, and you have, like, D-Hop on the outside. Man, Ertz is going to eat this week, man. Ertz is going to eat.
Yeah, man, I had Ertz also, and my write-up was just simple. They're going to look to get him integrated in the offense. He's a better player than Max Williams, who was the tight end that went down with the injury, who was having a good year. So I just see Ertz just actually probably having a good I think he's going to be solid and definitely locked down the middle of the field. Yeah, I like Ertz this week, too. Who you got, Carl? What tight end are you starting?
Man, but funny you guys say Ertz because I got my man Dallas Goedert coming back from COVID list. He don't have to worry about, you know, Ertz.
Dallas,
any,
he ain't got to worry about Ertz.
He ain't got to worry about Ertz. You know, the power struggle they were having. They had two number one tight ends in the same offense. Somebody ain't going to be happy. With them getting rid of Ertz, you know, that opens up the field for Dallas to do what he needs to do this week. And I think he took an unscheduled bye week last week. And so he should come back ready to go against the Raiders, bro. I think he's going to have a great game, too, based on the fact that, you know, he don't have to look over his shoulder this week. His targets should go up. You know, he hasn't had more than 5 targets so far this year, but I think I'm looking for him to get up in the 8 to 10 range.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm going with a guy, man, who I said quarterback that you should think about starting. I'm going with Gerald Everett versus New Orleans, man. You know, he was out due to COVID. You know, so he came back last week. He had 3 targets, 41 yards. But the one long catch he had should have been a touchdown. He got tripped up at the 1 yard line, but he should have scored on that one. I think one thing about Geno is he's not going to force the ball down the field. And what we always say, between a running back and a tight end, they can be a quarterback's best friend. So look for Gerald Everett to have, I say, anywhere between 6 and 7 targets Monday night. Although, you know, New Orleans secondary is solid. They back end is solid. So, but I still like Gerald Everett in this matchup. I also had Kyle Pitts, you know, going against Miami. But let's do this. Carl, give me one sleeper, bro.
Jameis Winston, bro, going against him. He's coming off his best game against the Washington football team. Going to the bye, he had 30 attempts, 4 touchdowns. What did he do this week before we put him in the must-start list?
Okay. Who you got, Jermaine? Oh, yeah.
Man, I got Hunter Renfrow going up against the Eagles. The great white hope, man, he's consistent, man. And, I mean, Carr played good. I think Hunter Renfrow is going to do some things this week.
Man, did you have Hunter Renfrow as a sleeper last week, too?
Nah, not me. I don't think
yeah,
I did. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think you – yeah, I'm going to look it up real quick. I think you had Hunter Renfrow as a sleeper last week because you know how you do. But last week our sleepers were I put in there AJ Dillon, Khalil Herbert, mm-hmm. and T.Y. Hilton. So I didn't put him in the tweet, but I think you did say Hunter Renfrow. But ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm going with a guy that we've been slapping around all year. I'm going Robert Tonyan, dog. Tonyan, you're going against the Washington football team, bro. We giving it up every which way but loose. If you can't get off on our defense, then maybe, you know what, your season is over. Last week against Kansas City, their number 2 tight end was getting off on us. At the same time, Kelsey was getting off on us. So, Robert Tonyan, this is the week to wake up, pinch yourself, and you go to Aaron Rodgers and say, bro, I'm ready. I'm last year's Robert Tonyan this week. So, that being said, if Robert Tonyan can't get it done this week, bro, yeah, he not going to get it done at all. So, you know, Friday Night Fire, me and my 2 bros, the 3 bros fantasy. So, you know, giving you the information to help you win this week. We know it's a bye, 16's on a bye, that you're scrambling around, working the waiver wire. But like my big bro said, you don't want to cut too many of your good players just to satisfy a need to field a team this week. If you got to take an L, just take the L. And just hope the fantasy gods bless you somewhere down the road. Any last words, Carl?
Man, like my bro said, reiterated, stay true to your team. Or you did the draft for a reason. Like you did auto draft, I understand why you want to cut these folks. But if you stuck to the draft plan, stick to it and see it through to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you, Jermaine? The last words?
Yeah, man, I would just say just take a look out for those goal line backs. And if you got a high-scoring matchup, even those you might can even play them as a flex, man. So if you got, like, a timeshare and you got a goal line back, it's a good chance to stick him in as a flex, man. It might pay off for you.
Yeah. Well, my last words is don't let 1 week get you down. Don't let 1 week get you overconfident. Stick to the game plan. Fantasy is a long season. Hey, work your team. Don't worry about the guy that you're playing against. I see a lot of guys do matchups based on who they're playing against. Dumbest thing ever. Just work your team. Everything else will take care of itself. That being said, Big Bro put it on me last week. I don't think I get another crack at him no time soon. I don't think I play Jermaine no time soon. So, you know, now I can go beat up on some other people. So, everybody have a good weekend. Take care of yourselves. Next Friday, we're coming back at you with this Friday Night Fire. For those that play fantasy basketball, I'm thinking about doing an NBA show, but I'm not quite sure yet. So everybody have a good weekend. Take care. And as always, we always end the show on a peace.
Peace.